And now the New Testament passage from the book of James. It's not a well-known book. Martin Luther called it the book of straw. He didn't like it very much. He said it didn't speak enough about Christ, but it talks about what it means to do good and to follow God in hard times, and it is worth reading today. James 5, verses 7 through 10. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. It's the third Sunday of Advent, and the sign this week is a sign that says that U-turns are allowed. You can turn around, you can repent, and get yourself back on the highway of God. Isaiah paints a story, an image, a song of what it's like on this highway of God. It will be filled with rejoicing and singing and movement. And on the sides of God's highway, crocus will bloom and blossom of yellows and purples and lavenders, and it will be like a river of color on any side. And it will be restored. Restoration of creation will be transformed. Where the bare and dry desert was, there will be pools of clean water and sprouting springs where all animals and humans can drink. In places where the grass was yellow and limp, now it will be restored into green, full rushes and reeds. And people will be transformed on God's highway. People who were once blind or could not see without glasses, those people will lead the way. And those that were disabled, as we understand now, with canes and wheelchairs and walkers and braces, they will lead the path with dancing. And those whose hands were weak, they will take the hands of others and lead the way. And those whose knees were weak will dance and skip and move as though they feel the heartbeat of God coursing through them. And those that knew only silence will have the ringing of joyful song in their ears. And those that could not communicate their hearts and their thoughts to others will lead other in words and singing of joy. And if you don't feel yet included on who's on that highway, it says those with a fearful heart, those that are scared and anxious will find a way on that road. And if you don't feel included now, the scripture says even fools will not go astray. It's all of us that have a way, a place on God's highway. Those that were the last will lead everyone. All will be valued and included, led by a babe who was born in Bethlehem, who grew up into a man that changed people then and still changes hearts and minds and the world today. This scripture in Isaiah gives us a taste, a vision of what God's highway, God's way will be like. It says, even in today's world, God will be with us. We are not lost. We can still make a U-turn, and we can walk with and through and by God's strength, following on the way of the Christ. Yet on days when we don't have children to tell the story and songs to lift our hearts, it can feel like there is too much darkness and God's way is lost to us. The people that James spoke to knew that. They thought God would come back and fulfill his promises soon, and they were losing heart. It's not a world unlike ours, where everything else but God's way seemed to call people. And to those people, to us, James said, "Be patient, beloved, for the Lord is coming. Wait, for God is near, even when you do not know it." And James told the people to be patient. To be patient means to endure, to wait courageously until God comes. And then the writer of James used the passage that said, "The farmer waits for the precious crop to grow from the earth, waiting for the first rains and the last rains." Well, it sounds lovely, but it doesn't quite work for us urban people. But what it's talking about is those first gentle rains would do enough so they could plant the seeds in the ground. And then they would wait patiently for the second rain to come and grow up the crops. Now, those farmers knew that none of their fussing, none of their anxiousness would make that second crop grow any quicker. They had to wait patiently with endurance for God's growth to come again. But it does tell us in this passage one way to wait with endurance, one way to wait with courage, one way to wait with hope. It says, in the meantime, don't grumble. It's an interesting passage right there. Don't grumble. Grumble means don't hold a grudge against someone. It can be either the grudges that those things that you feel bad about because you've done them to yourself or because someone has done it to you. Don't hold those grudges. And it's not talking to outside people. It's talking about that Christian community. Don't be holding grudges against each other. That means don't take one hurt and hold it for an hour, a day, a year, and just bring it out. It means use forgiveness. Remember, we all make mistakes, and we can turn and repent and do something new. What it doesn't say, but I think it means, is don't gossip. Because, you know, we don't tend to gossip about the great things. Oh, she is such a good person. I think she helped someone this way, and she didn't. Do you hear that very often? We gossip about bad things. We pass on bad news and grumblings, and I hear this passage saying, stop it. Do not grumble. Do not gossip. Treat that person like they're God's beloved. Because it says here, God doesn't judge grumbling too well. I mean, it's clear. Don't be doing it. God doesn't like it. How about during this Advent season, we look at our own hearts that need to be strengthened and explore that one of the ways to strengthen them, one of the ways to bring hope, is to lay that grumbling aside. Because we are invited to treat each other like God's beloved. Believe we're beloved and treat others as though they are beloved. And when we have that attitude, it's like just for a moment, for a day, for a time, we're on God's highway where everyone is included. And I believe that we get glimpses of what it means to be on God's highway, God's holy way during our lives. Sometimes we're on it for a while. Sometimes we get just a glimpse. But it gives us hope to walk on God's way, to feel that heartbeat of God, to have it strengthen us. I offer you this morning a story by a pastor named Patty Davis. She tells a story about an ordinary Thursday in a place where days seem to mush together and you can't tell one day from the other. It's Thursday afternoon in a nursing home, and it's pretty much like any other afternoon, unless you happen to be there last Thursday. About 1:30, the residents started joining for their afternoon activity. It was advertised as Drumming with Connie. And it seemed different and interesting, so about 30 people in that residency straggled in. They sat down like they always do in a semicircle, but as usual, they didn't speak to each other much. Mostly, they just sat and sat in silence, hoping for another kind of diversion to pass the time until dinner. They knew their neighbors. Maybe they knew them too well. There were no surprises there. It was just another Thursday. And then Connie came in. She came with a flat kind of cart with all kinds of drums on it. She had long platinum hair, kind of middle-aged on this side of round. And she began unpacking her drums. There were tall drums that could sit on the floor for residents with two good hands. There were smaller drums that could be held between the knees of those sitting down. For those that had strokes and were paralyzed on one side, there was a drum on a strap that would go around their neck. She had drums of every size and description. Some were hammered silver from India. Others were hand-carved drums from Egypt. There were colorful drums from Haiti, hairy cowskin-covered drums from Africa, wooden drums from Nigeria, drums from all over the world. And for those that couldn't manage a drum, she brought maracas. You know, those gourd-filled shakers that make sound. And people perked up because it had been a long time since they had been given anything of value and said, "Here, this is for you." And eyes brightened, and there was an air of anticipation in the room. And then Connie sat down with her own drum and began to teach us everything she knew. "It's easy," she said. "Let's start out with your own heartbeat. Lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. This is a music we all know. It's easy, and everyone found they can make that sound on their drum." "Now," she said, "I'll play and add a note, but you need to hold that beat again and again because we're going to come back to it." And the people played their own heartbeats, and she added a beat here and there, and soon there was this incredible thrumming, and it filled the place with drumming, and an amazing thing is it all sounded perfect. She got louder, and the drums got louder, and as she drummed as soft as a whisper, everyone drummed softly. Each drum kept tempo and passed from soul to soul, drawing on something primitive and sacred. The heartbeat of life pounded in the place of darkness. And she knew how to teach us, because when it came to the end of the song, she would count down 4, 3, 2, 1, and we would end together, and everyone would break with joyful applause. She taught us so much. She taught us to make the sound of the wind of the trees by running our hands across the flat tops of the drum. She taught us to make the sound of rain by fluttering our fingers on tops of the drum. We continued for an hour learning songs of Congo and Cuba and faraway way places in languages we did not know, but somehow we understood it. We knew these songs were something deep inside of us, and the drums translated it to us. Songs often simple and yet eternally complex. Songs as natural as our own skin. And a woman who had Alzheimer's, who sits most of the day in her room alone in silence, was shaking her maraca in time, grinning ear to ear. And people who had strokes were dancing in their wheelchairs and drumming out rhythm and smiling for the pure joy of it. and even the deaf could hear and feel the sound of wonder. And the throbbing drum beats filled the hallways, and staff members came in. They couldn't resist themselves. And the activities director danced with the maintenance man, and the head of housekeeping took the center of the circle and pounded out a dance for the head nurse. And the blind man in one eye, who normally just shuffles through the hallways, took the floor and gyrated in reckless abandon. And there was music, and it was heavenly. A taste of the highway of God, an echo of God's holy way. May the joy of the one who created everything beat in the rhythm and joy of your own life. May the pulse of rejoicing and singing and dance move you with hope in your tired limbs, in your fearful heart, in your worn down spirits. May you follow in the steps of the one born in Bethlehem who still leads us today. Amen.